Hello, everybody. Welcome to Reveal and Heal, an exclusive, a special edition. Go ahead and tag your friends. Go ahead and tag everyone that you know, because today is a special. It's a very, very special episode of Reveal and Heal. I'm Coach Dan. You know, you can't heal unless you reveal. I have Darnell Jackson. Some of you may know him as Jack Rip. He is a serial entrepreneur. And I'm bringing him today so that he can drop some wisdom and some jewels about the things that he is doing. And I'm telling you, he's doing some amazing things. You know, a lot of people talk a good game. They talk about what they're doing. They talk about what they're going to do. But this young man is not only doing it, he has the results. See, Reveal and Heal is about sharing where you come from to where you are. Because what we wanted to see is the manifestation of your healing. That is so very important. So I want you to put your hands together, and I want you to welcome Darnell Jackson to the platform of Reveal and Heal. Hello, Darnell.
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing today? Y'all doing all right tonight?
It's a beautiful day. I'm just glad to be amongst the living. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation to be on Reveal and Heal. I'm excited about your story. I know that you have a lot. You have a lot to say. And I want you to share with the people, share with everyone, you know, the goodness of the Lord in your life. Share where you come from to where you are, because you didn't wake up where you are. You went through some things. No. So I want you to share your story that you may encourage someone.
You know, I think a lot of people always see the tip of the iceberg, but they don't see what's under the surface, right? You know, you see that meme on social media a lot, right? So I was born and raised in Buffalo, New York, on the east side of Buffalo. Both my mom and dad was in my life early on in my life. You know, both of them dealt with different things that was in the streets. You grew up in certain situations. Like I said, I probably shouldn't have been a witness to some of the things that I was, you know, surrounded by and everything like that. But you don't know what's going on when that's your everyday life and everything.
That's
like
right.
That. But you know what, I made it through at 15. My mom moved me down here to Georgia. She had to get me out of that environment to try to start over. And so I moved down here to Cartersville, Georgia, went to Cass High, you know, met some people and just stayed down here. And, you know, I figured out, you know, I tried to figuring out this thing called life and just started, you know, just going at it, just doing my thing. So,
can you hear me? You know what? I actually remember when you came as a young man. And you were on it. You were doing your thing when you first come here.
Yeah.
I mean, you stood out. We know Georgians. You know, we know Georgians. So it's like, but you stood out because there was just something about you. You had a distinguishing, you know, swag. And I recall you being in the church, and you know, it was just something really special about you. I really appreciate your hustle, because I just seen something in you where you just, you know, wanted to make a difference and be a part. Tell us, you know, your beginning, because I know how you started. You know what I'm saying? You're doing a lot of things now, but you started selling t-shirts. You were one of the first ones that planted that seed, you know, about 10 years ago. You did it for a good while. You were doing a number of things, you know. You were that brand for real, for real. And now you're doing bigger and better things. Tell us about that transition, you know.
Well, I think it was just always innately in me. You know, my dad was a hustler of in the streets, you know, stuff like that. And I don't know whether I really knew exactly what was going on at such a young age, but, you know, growing up in Buffalo, New York, Niagara Falls was right across the Peace Bridge, Canada, and everything like that. So, you know, like fireworks was illegal in New York State at the time. So my dad, you know, summertime coming up, 4th of July time, he would drive across the Peace Bridge, go to Canada. He'd come back with a trunk load full of fireworks. And I remember I probably was five or six at the time. And I would break down the packages of the fireworks, and I'd go and get my little paper lunch sacks and stuff out of the kitchen. And I would break them down, and I would fill up the lunch sacks with different parts of different type of fireworks. And I would go up and down my block, and I would sell them, you know, $5 a bag, $10 a bag, and everything like that at 5 years old. And then, like, you know, my dad always had his people and stuff around the house. So every time I caught somebody cussing, they had to give me a quarter. You know, when I started going to school, I would make sure that my my grandmother Annie, I made sure that, you know, she'd stop at the grocery store and get me like the big packs of the Reese cups, and I'd take them to school, and I was selling, you know, like the Reese cups and selling like, you know, candy and everything like that. I was always out there getting it. And I don't know if I really understood the full concept of entrepreneurship, but it was just in me from an early age. Before I really truly understood it, I knew I wanted to go out here and get something on my own. And it just, you know, through the years, just coming up through the teenager, I found other little odd and end jobs, things and stuff that I could do. And I didn't come up in the church or anything like that. You met me a little bit later after I started dating Jody. You know, my wife, 21 years this past December. So that's when you met me, was right around that time. But, you know, I always knew that I had to, you know, stick out, because I knew, I didn't even really understand branding and marketing at the time, but I knew I needed to make myself stand out from other people that was in the same, you know, realm that I was in. So, you know, I started pressing up my own CDs. I taught myself how to do graphics. I started going out to gas stations. I started getting kicked out of mall, threatened to get arrested for soliciting at Town Center, at Cumberland Mall, Lenox Mall, Starbucks when they were first coming up and everything like that. And I mean, I would just stop in the middle of the mall. I remember I had my friends with me. We would all wear my own shirts. I had Baby Mob Entertainment clothes. And we would go down to the malls deep. It'd be like 5 to 10 of us at one time. And we'd just stop wherever we seen the most people. And they would turn into a circle. And I would just start rapping, freestyling and rapping in front of the whole mall. And people would start coming around. And at the same time, while I'm rapping, we selling CDs and everything. And I had my little pocket camcorder. So my friends was recording it and stuff at the time. So I always knew that I had to do something that was going to stand out. And every artist who I looked up at, from Tribe Called Quest to Snoop Dogg, Jay-Z, everything like that, every time I seen them on TV, whether it was a music video or music awards, I analyzed their steps on the stage. I studied the way they moved. I studied how they had charisma with the audience. And I made sure that I could take bits and pieces of all the people who were influences, and I can incorporate that into my stage show and into my persona. And I made sure that if people didn't know who Jack Rip was after they saw me perform or after they seen me sell CDs and stuff out in the street, they was going to remember me from here on out. And that was what it was all about. I just wanted to make an impact.
I recall you got multiple gifts. Mm-hmm. You have multiple gifts. And now you're talking about how you started the rap game. But see, I'm looking at, okay, now how did he transition from, you know, these different gifts? Because keep in mind, now you started selling product as a 5-year-old. So it's like at some point you had to up your game and transition to bigger things. So it's like, how did you, you know, decide? Because, you know, you can be a jack of all trades and be a master of none. But when you're just hitting the mark and on all the things that you're doing, you know, at some point you got to narrow it down and master one thing and then go to the next.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I studied so many different elements at one time, and I'm just a creative individual. Like I went, before I came down here to Cartersville, I went to Buffalo Academy for Visual and Performing Arts. So I was an art major. You actually have to audition it, you know, like that, like the old TV show Fame and everything, mm-hmm. like performing arts school. So I went to school with kids that it was a magnet school. So they pulled kids from all areas of the city to come to that school. So I was bused from east side of Buffalo to downtown Buffalo. So, you know, it was a diverse school. And I was just taught, you know, so visual arts and graphics and everything. So it naturally started coming to me. I just had to learn it on a computer. And when I first started, I was horrible. But the more that I did, you know, other artists would be like, yo, who did your packaging and everything for you? I was like, I did it myself. And then other artists and then businesses started reaching out to me and asking me if I can do postcard flyers, billboards, retractable banners, business cards. I mean, I had artists from all over the state. Then I started to develop my own studio. By the time I got my first house and everything, I built my own studio in the house. So everybody from Northwest Georgia area, they all started coming to Rip Studios and they all started recording with me. So now I was killing them with the graphic design, doing pictures for them, and I was doing their recording and helping them do their branding and marketing concepts. And it kind of made me like, I guess I was like a go-to person in the area for so many different things. But then I also had a job at a shoe store here, the sports shoe. So I negotiated a deal with the owner of the sports shoe that he would let me get my own little section of the store to sell my Baby Mob clothing. So since I was privy to the ordering process where I ordered certain type of shoes, the Air Forces and the Jordans, I knew what colors were coming in and what season. So I would make sure that when I had to order my new selection of shirts and stuff, I would order stuff that was going to coordinate with the newest, hottest shoes that we had coming into the store. So every time people came into the store, I would always match up, yo, this t-shirt right here goes with these shoes. You get any shoes, you got to get this t-shirt and everything like that. And sometimes I even throw them a little hookup and give them like a 20% off coupon. So they save 20% on the shoes and it basically almost give them the t-shirt for free. But it was a sale for me. And it got to the point to where we were selling more Baby Mob clothes than we were selling certain Nike apparel and everything like that. And I remember one day my mom had said something to me. She was at the Walmart and she was walking through the frozen food section. And she said she seen an older white lady wearing a Baby Mob hoodie. And it said Baby Mob Clothing Company. And at the bottom of it, it said, get down or lay down. And she said, baby, I knew you had something going on. You had older white ladies walking through grocery stores shopping with, you know, Urban Apparel and stuff on. And, you know, that's what it was about. I just wanted to make sure that people were aware what I could do. And doors just continued to open everywhere I went, you know. And so when I started to transition, the funny thing, I didn't tell you this earlier, I had Baby Mob Entertainment and I had a whole roster of other artists and stuff that I worked with on Baby Mob Entertainment. And between 2009 and 2011, I tell people that was some of the hardest times that I had in my life because my cousin CJ, he got murdered in 2009. And then about a month and a half later, my other cousin, Robert, he got murdered as well, too. So, you know, I grew up with both of my cousins. They were like brothers and stuff. We were, close. You know, me and CJ, growing up, we slept in the same house. Sometimes we slept in the same bed, you know what I'm saying? Because that's just how things were. You know, we had to sleep in a shared bed. We all slept in the same house. So he was like my big brother. He taught me how to play football, fight, all of that type of stuff. So when he got killed, it was really, really hard for me. And I'd already been in the church, you know, but I wasn't really in the church, you know. But after all of these traumatic situations happened to me, you know, it started to change me. And my friend Adam Jernigan, who was a youth pastor at the time, he did evangelism to skaters. So he would go out to different skate parks and he would evangelize to all these skaters because, you know, all of these type of kids, you know, skaters, they might have been in trailer parks or had different situations and stuff like that. He wanted to make sure he reached them because that's who he had a heart and that's who he naturally gravitated to. So he had reached out to me and he said, man, Darnell, I know you don't do Christian music. He said, but you got some good music. You got some songs that have a Christ-like foundation, a message that really touched me, some of the stuff that I've listened to. He said, and I'm putting together a tour. I would love if you can come out and do some spot dates on this tour and do, you know, a selection of these songs that, you know, that I chose that I think would really help people. So in the process of me, you know, trying to put these songs together, put a little EP and stuff together, I was like, man, I can't just put two or three songs on this. I need to get something together. So God had started working to me. Like, I was already going through it. It's like Adam reached out to me at the right time because my cousins was murdered. I was in the process of going through foreclosure, losing my house in bankruptcy, losing my way of income. I lost my car. I was at my I tell people all the time that was like my Job year. 2000, you know, into 2009, 2010 was like my Job year. Turbulent relationships with different family members and everything like that. So, man, at the time, so I was like, I just started recording new music and I felt like God was really speaking to me. He was changing me and helping me evolve. And so I told everybody in my whole entire crew, I said, look, y'all come to my house. Y'all can take all of y'all music that y'all recorded here. I don't want any of it. Y'all do what y'all want with it. I don't want to be part of it no more. Y'all can take it and do what y'all want. And this is what God is calling me to do. He wants me to go out here and minister to his people and touch people's lives the way that he's touching mine right now. And they just never came. They never came and picked up the music. They never came to any of my shows. They never called and checked up on me or anything like that. One of my homeboys at the time, Sean Knox, you know, he none of us was like Christians. I mean, I guess, you know, America's a Christian nation and we celebrate Christian traditional holidays and all that stuff like that. But, you know, nobody really went to church. But Sean, he listened to the album Testimony came out. And he was like, man, this is one of the hardest albums I ever heard. He's like, man, I ain't even front. And I was like, man, you ain't just saying that. Cause I was almost kind of too shy to give that music to all of my friends that was out here doing, you know, regular hip hop, you know, and gangster rap and everything. I was actually kind of intimidated to give that to them because I was showing such a vulnerable side of myself. And I was kind of scared. So when he told me that it was one of the hardest albums that he had ever heard, and he was rocking with me, you know, no matter what, you know what I'm saying? He didn't go to church, and he never went to church with me. Even afterwards, he went on tour with me. He would go to church with me to perform and minister at shows and everything like that, but he actually never went to church with me, but he was riding with me, you know what I'm saying? But after he gave me that little boost of confidence and told me that the album was solid, it was a classic, he loved it and everything like that, that actually helped push me, you know, to go even harder and stuff at it. And so once I started getting deeper into the Christian hip hop world, you know, a lot of people tell everybody like Christian rap is watered down, it's corny, it's subpar and everything. So I wanted to make sure I changed that. So I wanted to bring a little bit more edge to the game. So the same guerrilla tactics that I use in the secular world, as far as like marketing, branding, hustling and everything, I brought that same energy, that same oomph that I had, I brought that right into the church. Some people didn't like it. A lot of people didn't like it, but you know, some people picked up on it and they was like, this is what we need. And it really took off. And I was able to, man, reach people all over the world. Even to this day, I hadn't released a full album since 2012, but to this day, I still get weekly and daily streams of my music from people all over the world. People in Russia, Italy, Africa, China, you know, they still, I mean, and they've been buying, they was buying shirts and everything. So from, you know, that the last album that I put out, Under God's Authority, I toured on that album for 5 years up until 2017 when I said I'm taking a break from doing music. And I started turning down, you know, engagements and opportunities to go out and perform. I started turning them down and passing them off to some other colleagues that I had and everything. But yeah, I mean, that album, it opened up so many doors. I was able to travel. I was able to take my family out of town and give them, you know, expose them to different, you know, parts of the country, to different experiences. It was a blessing, you know, but, you know, it was hard when I first started because I felt like I was doing everything that I was supposed to do. And God was taking me through my Job year. I had to have surgery. I had a cast for, you know, 3 months on my leg. I lost my house. I lost my car. I didn't have no way of working. My wife had to hold everything down in the household while I was trying to recover and everything. And to this day, she hated when I say I'm about to pick up a basketball, you know, because she remember it was hard for her, you know. So, I mean, but God is, he brought us back 10 times over.
My God. Through your humility, what is the greatest lesson that you learn?
You can't just always depend on yourself. I'm one of those people who it's hard for me to give control away to certain people. I feel like if I'm not doing it, it's not gonna be done right. You know, like I'm a perfectionist. So it's hard for me to delegate and everything. So I think through that season, through a few of those seasons, God had to sit me down and was like, you need to trust in me and not just trust in your own skills, your own talents and everything like that. You have to trust in me. And I met some great people along the way. I had some great mentors. One of my favorite people of all time is Pastor Sebastian Holly. You know, Pastor Sebastian Holly, when I met him and we were living in the trailer parks off of Burnt Hickory Road here in Cartersville, you know, like he was gangster Holly at that time, you know what I'm saying? So he was the first person to put me in the studio. And from being my big bro and my mentor in music and grooming me and molding me into being a good artist, or, you know, that I turned into, because he helped put that foundation and stuff in me. You know, when he transitioned and started pastoring and started delivering the word, he also became a mentor in that aspect and stuff as well too. And to this day, if I ever have a problem or if I want to talk about something, I know I can reach out to him. And he's always there to answer the phone and, you know, always give me a good word of advice. And, you know, I know he ain't gonna judge me. You know, he's seen me at some of my worst points. He's seen me in my most vulnerable states, you know what I'm saying? And he's never You know, he's never judged me or never treated me any differently. You know what I'm saying? So shout outs to Pastor Sebastian Holly. He one of the realest ones around here.
You're right about it. You are right about it. He is a true soldier, such a good heart and non-judgmental. You know, a lot of people speak highly of him, and it's really due to him. Genuine soul indeed. So let's talk about, you know, when you came out of that place. I know you had mentioned to me about you actually got a regular job. That wasn't something that you enjoyed because you are a gifted guy. You can do a lot of things, but sometimes, you know, when we go through our humble season, we have to do things we don't want to do. Is that right?
Yeah. The funny thing was, when we were going through, we had just got finished getting rid of our, we had a beautiful house built. You know, we were a young black couple. We got a house built from the ground up. Super proud. You know, I was super proud of it. You know what I'm saying? We put a lot of, certain times we put too much value on tangible goods, on everything. And I put a lot of value. You know, I felt like I made it coming from where I came from and to be able to build that house and, you know, move my family in there and everything like that. It was huge to me. You know what I'm saying? That was like my championship trophy almost. So when we lost that house and the car and everything like that, man, I was broken almost. You know what I'm saying? So, and then on top of that, one of my friends asked me if I wanted to go out and play some basketball. And I remember we went to church at Liberty Square. And that night, before we left the house, my wife was like, she said, "All right, don't go out there and get hurt." Why did she say that? You know, because the last game of the night, you know what I'm saying? I run it down the court and completely ruptured my right Achilles tendon. And man, it was horrible. We didn't have any insurance at the time. I wasn't working. She was babysitting a couple of kids. You know, neither one of us had like a real, real job. You know, so we didn't have any insurance. We had just lost the house. We just lost the car. I wasn't able to really go out and hustle and make any money, you know, doing anything. So, you know, by the grace of God, one of my wife's friends at the time worked at DFACS, and she was able to get me like some, you know, she was able to help get us emergency Medicaid, which paid for my surgery. So the day that I had to go down to Emory Medical to have surgery, Georgia Power called. My wife answered my phone and she's like, "Hello." And the lady was like, "Yes, I'm calling for Darnell Jackson. This is so-and-so at Georgia Power." And my wife was like, "Excuse me, man, but we already made arrangements to pay y'all. We're going to try to pay y'all some money next week." And she was like, "Oh, no. You know, I'm not calling about y'all bill. I'm calling to offer him a position." You know, I'd actually filed an application for Georgia Power like in 2008. And they didn't call me back until like 2011, the day that I was on the surgery, you know, going in for surgery. So they offered me a position, and my wife, you know, I called her after I got out of surgery a few days later when I was at home resting. I called her back. I told her the situation, and she actually held a position for me to go and take another test until I was close enough to recovery. She pushed it back as far as she could. So when I went to go and do a physical agility test, you know, I really wasn't even supposed to be walking on my foot. But, you know, I limped through that whole thing. They were pulling me to the side and asking me if I was all right, if I needed medical attention. And no, I mean, I limped through that whole thing. And by the grace of God, I got hired. I was able to help my family financially bounce back and get back, you know, some things that we need to get straight. But, you know, the good thing about working at Georgia Power at the time, I worked at a smaller plant called Plant Hammond in Coosa, Georgia. The management found out that I did Christian hip hop. And they knew that I was on my days off. They knew that I was going and volunteering at FCA, speaking at schools. I was going out doing tour dates and ministering at small churches all around, as far off as I could. And they actually helped sponsor one of my tours and some of my dates. And they actually helped me out with my schedule as far as like letting me swap certain days out so I can go out and do what God was asking me to do at the time. So that was a blessing and everything. But you know, after so long, I got complacent. You know, I was getting used to, you know, being in this industrial environment, which I knew I wasn't made for. It was unhealthy and very unsafe. And it just wasn't what I was meant to be doing. You know, I'm a very creative individual, and I was trapped inside this box. And, man, I knew the breaking point was coming. It wasn't just because of COVID hit last year, but I started, I started having anxiety attacks. I started dealing with depression. My wife convinced me to start going to see a therapist last year. So I started going to see a therapist, and she's the one who diagnosed me with clinical depression and anxiety. I started having blood pressure issues. I'm not a big guy at all. You know, I stay pretty active. I eat very healthy. So I started having migraine headaches and blood pressure issues. The doctor wanted to put me on medication. And my wife was like, you got to leave that place because it's going to kill you. She was like, you're unhappy. You're walking around the house moping. You're miserable. Your health is going downhill. She said, it doesn't make no sense for you to have a good paying job if you're going to be dead in 2 years. So, you know, with her blessing and everything like that. And, you know, I knew my faith in God, my faith into the skills and the talents that God gave me and everything. You know, I walked away from the job after 9 years. And, man, things have been a blessing ever since I walked away. So many doors have been opening. I've been networking with people I've needed to network with. My wife was able to leave her job as well this past December. And now we have a couple of different companies that's flourishing, and we're helping a lot of people with these companies. And it's just been a blessing. And, you know, I might not be doing the things that I dreamed of doing early on in my life, where I wanted to be this rap star and tour, but at the same time, I'm still being a blessing to people, and that's a blessing to me.
Amen. Amen. And you know something? When you look back on it, dear, you look at how God transition you from place to place, because it's like you had purpose in each thing that you did. Yeah. You know, you understand that when you fail, you get up and you try again. You understand that. And it's like, you can't, you know, really witness to the power of God unless you go through some things. You can't always appear to shine. How does God get the glory from that? How does God get the glory from you appear to always make it? You know, how's he going to use you to witness to other people that what God did for you, he'll do for them? You got to have some downtime. So tell us about how that downtime, because I know you went through some phases where you were like, well, Lord, I done changed my life. I done turned my life around. And you know, I'm having to go through this and I'm having to deal with that. Let's talk about that area of your life and him catapulting you in a season when everybody else was losing everything.
The biggest thing I gotta say is not just God, but having my wife behind me. You know what I'm saying? Because like, how many women would really be willing to let their husband walk away from a job that's paying him $80,000 to $100,000 a year to just take a step out on faith? And just try to do something you never did before. So shouts out to Jody for having my back and really believing in me. You know, it wasn't the first time that I left a job to try to step out on faith and do something. But every time, you know, she's always believed in me enough. And, you know, like, even to where, like, I'll say it, and I know she said it before, it seems like sometimes I feel like, you know, I don't have as much faith in myself as other people have faith in me sometimes. Because I feel like I don't believe that, you know, I'm capable of doing certain things that I can do. And you know, I look for others to help push me, and she's been one of my main people pushing me and everything like that. So last year, April, I'll tell you funny, last year, April, I was really upset about this COVID stuff. I got with a mentor in 2019, a DJ mentor. His name was Daniel Linares. And I reached out to him on Facebook and let him know, man, I love watching your videos on Facebook. I love the way you present yourself when you're DJing. Because I started DJing on the side when I started transitioning out of rap. And, you know, I felt like I'm always an entertainer at heart. So whether it's rapping or whether DJing, I could just be on the microphone and helping people enjoy themselves. Man, so he helped me transition. He helped me change up my brand, my look. You know, I started getting nice suits and stuff, changed the name. I got CAJ Legacy, a CAJ Event Group and everything. He helped me come up with this and everything. He pushed me. And so the last four gigs that I had of 2019 were all $1,000 plus gigs to go DJ. And then when 2020 hit, you know, I started, I booked between January and the beginning of March of 2020, I'd already booked $15,000 in gigs for DJing. So I spent another $10,000 upgrading my equipment, making sure I can have everything on point so I can have top-notch stuff. So when I go out there to do these events for people, that I was giving them top-tier service. Then COVID hit. Then the phone calls start coming, the texts, the emails start coming. People are canceling events. People are postponing events. And I'm like, man, I just spent $10,000 on gear. And then I was telling my wife, you know, I just had my 40th birthday in 2019, and we have a really nice property now, really, really nice property. And I love hosting events here. And we had a really big event for my 40th birthday. I was also raising money for a nonprofit, Scotland Smith's Love Travels, Bartow. So I was raising money for them through my birthday party. So everybody who came to my birthday party, they had to make a donation to this nonprofit. So we had a lot of people show up. We had a really, really good time. And I told her, I was like, man, I want to have another birthday party, but we can't have nothing because of COVID. And everybody's isolated to their houses and everything. And I was really upset about it. I was really, really upset. So I came home from work on my birthday. I had to work on my birthday. I was coming home from work. And when I parked the car in the garage and I started walking up the hallway to come up to the kitchen, they had the hallway decorated with balloons and streamers. And when I came into the kitchen, they had the whole entire kitchen decorated, and I had this huge, huge birthday present on the floor. And man, so they're videotaping. I'm dancing, acting a fool and everything, enjoying the moment because, hey, this is my party. It's my wife and kids, but that's all I needed at the time. So, you know, they get mad at me because, like, when I unwrap gifts, I try to take the tape off and unwrap it neatly. And they're like, will you just tear the paper off? So I tear the paper off, and they bought me this big miter saw. My wife had heard me mention it, that I wanted a nice saw to start building some stuff. So they bought me this big miter saw. I had to build something with it, Coach Dad. So I went to Home Depot with my trailer, and I bought a whole bunch of wood. I parked it in the backyard, and I didn't tell my wife what I was building, but she looked out the back window and she said, what's that? I said, it's some wood. And she's like, I know it's wood. She said, what are you doing with all that wood? I was like, oh, I'm just gonna build a gazebo. You know, and she just looked at me like, yeah, right. I built a stage. So now I have my own outdoor amphitheater in my backyard.
Oh, wow.
So I built the stage, and then I started building custom wood furniture to go around my backyard. And I started taking pictures of it. And as I was taking pictures and posting on Facebook, people started reaching out to me and asking me if I can build certain things for them. And then at this time, we were starting to go through, this was like May. So by time June had hit, that's when we had, you know, all the crisis, the constant crisis we have here in America with George Floyd and police brutality and everything. So people were really pushing Black businesses and support Black business. Blackout this, blackout week. We're not shopping with mainstream, we're only shopping with Black, you know, Black businesses. So somebody had tagged me into one of these, you know, Black-owned business groups. And so I posted some of my pictures. Man, that picture went viral. And people started hitting me up from all over the country. Before you know it, I was so busy, I had to call my dad. I had to fly my dad down here from Buffalo to come and help me. He stayed with me for 2 weeks to help me catch up on orders. I had my wife sanding and painting. I had my daughter helping to paint. I had my son helping to build stuff and everything. And I mean, it was crazy. So Jackson Park Creations was just birthed in the middle of a pandemic, kind of just by accident. You know, I mean, it was accident to me, but it was all God's plan, right? So, right. You know, so man, I was able to, and I was still going through it at work at the time. You know, like, you know, I worked here in Cartersville at the plant up here, Plant Bowen. And, you know, after the Trump presidency and everything like that, you know, during the Trump presidency, you know, we had a couple incidents where people were hanging nooses on equipment. So I had somebody hang a noose on my equipment. So dealing with that, being in that type of work environment, people not really understanding, it kind of breaks you down. It kind of makes you freeze up and lock down. And I just didn't really open up to no more of my coworkers. And I kind of just kind of, you know, kept my distance from a lot of people. And that's when I started really going through that depression and start having anxiety. And then when the whole George Floyd thing happened, I was at work and I'm watching it on the TV screen in the control room, and I had an anxiety attack. You know what I'm saying? Because I was tired of seeing that, because my first interaction with police was them pulling a gun out on me when I was a kid. And so it just brought all those emotions back. And so my wife, that's when she started pushing me to go through therapy. And it was like, I was just building wood. I was building stuff. I didn't want to do music no more. I didn't want to do graphics and video. You know, like going outside my backyard and building with my hands was like my therapy.
Yeah.
You know, like my release to turn off the rest of the world. So my wife could, you know, she helped me get a leave of absence from work. So I took a leave of absence from work because my therapist and stuff had recommended it. So I was able to take a month and a half off of work. And in that time, we really took that time to really grow the business. And we grew the business so much that we was able to pay enough debt down that we were able to, you know, when the time came, when I went back to work, I was able to walk away and tell them I wasn't going to work there anymore. And then I started getting around other people that were like-minded, other entrepreneurs. Then I found me a new mentor. And me and my wife, we paid for a mentorship, and we got up under this new mentor who was a millionaire. He makes $1 million a month. He's crazy, right? And I started listening to what he was talking and started following the rules and the directions he was giving me and everything. And in that transitional time, my wife started opening her eyes and stuff too. So this is like the first time we're really on page with each other. We're on par with each other as far as like our aspirations and finances and just our willingness to really get out there and do it for ourselves. And so then we birthed CAJ Legacy Group. And with CAJ Legacy Group, you know, all of the trials and tribulations we went through with our bankruptcy and our finances and us coming out of that, we use, you know, all the tactics that we learned how to build our credit back up, build our finances back up. And now we bring in clients and we teach them about financial literacy and we teach them about credit and how to utilize the tool and not to depend on one stream of income by depending on, you know, their job and everything. We show them how to set up businesses and get their own businesses and create their own jobs. I'm on my own payroll. My wife is on, we're on payroll for ourselves. You know, we get a paycheck stub every 2 weeks, you know, from our companies. And so that's what I want to do. I just want to show other people how to do that, you know, because I want to close that gap, because a lot of people are depressed. Like, I know people didn't grow up thinking, man, I want to work at Shaw when I get older. Mm-hmm. You know, man, I want to do this when I get older, and they're forced to stay in these jobs that they're not happy with. You know what I'm saying? Because God didn't put us here to just, you know, survive.
Right.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we want to do. We want to help people get to that point.
This is so wonderful. This is just so wonderful because it's the manifestation of the trials that you went through. Mm-hmm. You see how that comes to full circle?
Yeah.
Because see, all the things that you went through and you taught yourself some things, now you're using it as a business. And we all need to take that lesson instead of doing the woe is me thing. You know what I'm saying? Instead of feeling sorry for ourselves and, you know, giving up. You're supposed to use these type of situations to grow and be better, because we all have it in us. We all have it in us to be great. You just have to tap into that place. And you can consider yourself self-taught, because see, your mentor helps you on levels that you are not familiar. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? And you yourself can now mentor others as well. So let's talk about the plan that you have going forward, you know, so that other people can have something to work with. Because I know that you use your gifts in charging, you know, others for consultation and different things of such. So give us something, you know, a 1-2-3, if you will, type tip of a plan, strategy for someone that's listening that is desiring to move in the direction in which you're in.
Well, I want a big stigma, especially in the Black community, just not in the Black community, but lower classes as well too. Man, we have to get over the fear of credit. We have to learn how to use it as a tool, because America is run on credit. The American dollar is not backed by anything. America's run on credit. So we have to learn how to use credit as a tool, because if you don't take care of credit, your credit won't take care of you.
There it is.
One of the first things I need everybody that's out here watching and listening, I need you to take your credit seriously. You know, and if you don't come to me, we have we just released an ebook where you can do it yourself, or you can sit down and do a consultation with me and my wife. But you got to take your credit seriously, because if you can get strong credit and everything like that and use it as a tool, it opens up so many opportunities for you to do, to do different other, you know, things and stuff with your credit. So it's, you know, like a couple of weeks, you see what I'm sitting in, right? So you see I'm sitting in this throne chair, right? Well, why do I have a throne chair in my garage, right? So a couple of weeks ago, I was probably exactly almost 2 weeks ago, I got up early, you know, do like everybody did, you know, I get up and I check my messages, and I just happened to click on Facebook, and one of my online guys who I follow is named Neil Davis, and he made his money by opening event spaces and teaching people how to open event spaces and stuff. And one of the things that stuck out to me was like, he said, man, don't get this $1,400 stimulus and just spend it on frivolous things. Use your $1,400 stimulus to bring you another income in so you can have consistent stimuluses coming in every month. He said, one of the things you can do, he said, you can go out and buy you a throne chair. He said, go out and use your $1,000, $1,400, go and buy you a throne chair. They cost anywhere from $700, $650 to $1,200. He said, go buy you a throne chair. Start renting it out to events. People want for baby showers, wedding showers, for weddings, birthday parties, sweet 16s, graduations, photo shoots, you know, all type videos, all of that stuff. He said you could rent these things out for $250 for 4-hour increments on the weekend. He said, man, you do that 4 times a week, it pays for itself in the first month. He said you do that all year long, that's $12,000 you have come in extra from spending, you know, $1,000 on the throne chair. So you know what I did that day, Coach Deb? I went down to Atlanta and I bought 3 of these things. Wow. And before I got back home, I already had one of them booked. I designed a flyer before I even went to Atlanta. I designed a flyer. I put it out there on Facebook and Instagram. And before I even picked them up in the truck, I already had one booked for an event. You know, so I mean, like, you just got to jump out here and do it. You know, it's so many things. We mentioned it earlier. Before, I was like an example. Man, like, people are stuck at home, you know, and one of my mentors, he mentioned a play to us before. He's like, man, go on Facebook Marketplace, find you a little smart car, a little Hyundai Elantra, somebody, a little economy car that you can get for $4,000 to $6,000. Go and get you a car. If you got to make payments on it, you pay payments on it, or if you could buy it cash, put your stimulus money and tax money together, go and buy you a little economy car, right? You come home, you might not even want to need that car. You don't even want to drive it or anything like that. You know, you put a little ad on Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, you're looking for drivers. Start renting that economy car out to Instacart drivers, people that do DoorDash, Grubhub, all that type of stuff like that. Rent it out to them for $150 a week. People will rent it out. They need them all the time. You know what I'm saying? They don't have to make no car payment. They ain't got to worry about insurance. They ain't got to have nothing in their name. Rent it out to them for $150 a week. Hey, you even put gas in it. Do it 2 shifts. So you find the first person that's going to rent it out and they get the car from 7 o'clock to 3 o'clock or something like that. The second person get it from 3:30 to 11 o'clock and stuff. Now you get $300 a week. That's $1,200 a month. Not only that, you see Glenda Mitchell all over our town, right? Find you another Glenda Mitchell or another business and stuff that's willing to put their shrink wrap on your car, because you can tell them this car going to be getting ridden around 12 to 16 hours a day. It's going to be in the eyes of 30,000 people every week. Who wouldn't pay you $600 a month? You could break it up, right? I could get your podcast to pay me $200 a month, and you could have the whole driver's side. And then I get somebody else to pay me another $200. They get the passenger side, and somebody else get the back. I'm still getting my $600 a month, plus the $1,200 a month for renting it out. So now I took a $4,000 car, and I'm getting $2,000 a month, right? And this is one of the plays that my mentor, and I was like, man, that's so easy. So it's like, I'm not just telling this stuff to people. I'm doing it, and I'm showing them the numbers. I just got me a Walmart automation store. You know, like, I never knew about Walmart and Amazon automations before I started getting around other entrepreneurs and other go-getters and stuff, and they start putting me up on game of different ways that they get income coming in. Now I have passive income coming in, and I'm sleeping. I don't even touch nothing. When people go to Walmart.com and they buy something, they might be buying it from my store, and I have back-end workers that's getting it wholesale and drop-shipping it and send it to them. All I have to do is put the capital up. So I have business credit cards that pays for the capital, and I just keep the profit, you know? So my goal by the end of the year, this month we're about to buy our second Walmart automation store for my wife. It's going to be in her. We're going to do a whole new LLC for her. So now she's going to have an LLC with her Walmart automation store. By the end of summer or fall, my plan is to have both of my kids with one. You know, so if I have that, that's passive income. That's four different ways of passive income coming into this one household with my wife and my two kids. You know, so now I can let that store run itself, and I can take my laptop and we could be on the beach somewhere tropical, you know? And so we could be on the, or I could be on my phone, and I could just make sure that every time I get a payout from Walmart, I posted it on my Facebook wall a couple of days ago. I posted my numbers. I just got paid on Tuesday. $7,300 I just get paid out from Walmart. They pay me every 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? So I could do that from the beach somewhere. I can just pick up my phone and I can just make sure that my American Express gold card, my business gold card, is getting paid down. Every 2 weeks when I get a payment, I just make sure my American Express gold card is paid down. I'm collecting reward points on it. So now I can cash those reward points and stuff in, and I can use those reward points to pay for our trip to get to this tropical place. I can use those reward points to pay for our hotel, our resort stay, and everything like that. You know, so now I show people how to take bad credit, fix your credit up, show you how to structure it the right way. Now, once you structure it, I show you how to get funding and get certain credit cards that's going to give you cashback rewards, flight rewards, hotel bonus rewards, and everything like that. So you get paid to spend money. You're going to buy gas. You're going to buy groceries anyway. You're going to go buy clothes and order stuff on Amazon online anyway. Why not get cashback rewards and get cashback points back, and you can use all of those points to pay for the lifestyle you truly want? Use those points to pay for your business. Fund your business. You got an idea for business, you can't get a business loan from the bank and everything like that? You will once you start messing with us, because we're going to get your credit right. But in the meantime, if you can't, now we got high-level credit cards that you can liquidate, and you can use the liquidation off of those credit cards to fund your business. Now you can get the inventory you need for your store. For your Shopify, you can get the inventory you need, or you can get the money that you need to fix up your new tax office and everything like that. And guess what? Everything that you use on those credit cards and everything, not only do you get cashback rewards, but now it's all tax deductions. You know, we're not worried about getting income taxes over here. We just worried about how much we got to pay. But you know what? We're worried about how much we got to pay, because we got a lot of tax write-offs and we doing it the right way. People get mad at President Trump because he only paid $750 in taxes. He playing the game the way the game made to be played. It's not made for everyday working people. It's made for business owners. I encourage everybody to get out here and get a side business. Because you know what? You can't pass down a job to your son and your daughter.
You can't do it.
You can't do that. You can pass down a business to them. And then on top of that, if you want, you can also develop a trust. So now you could build a family trust, and you could all be board members of that family trust. So when I pass away and my kids and stuff are family trust members, they don't have to pay inheritance tax on all the assets that I leave them, because all the assets are owned by the trust, but they control that trust. So right. Now they can keep everything that I built for them. And then right. They can do the same thing for their generation. So this is what CAJ Legacy Group is all about. It's about creating a legacy, passing it down, but we show our community how we do it, because we need to do it collectively.
There you go.
And we can't just keep coming out here and protesting and fighting off all of the stuff that's coming against us. You know what I'm saying? The country is working the way it was planned to work. You know, the systemic racism, the systemic issues that's dealing with us, we got to beat it financially. I told you what we need to do is, in this area and every other area in the country, we need to get coalitions of Black business owners, show us how to get financially free, start making money, circulate our money amongst ourselves and everything like that. And we go out here and buy this politician. I'm not worried about running for city council of Cartersville when I can make sure that I donate enough money to Matt Santini's campaign, to the sheriff's campaign, to the county commissioner's campaign. So when I do get pulled over by the police, they know that I'm Matt Santini's boy. They know I'm the county commissioner's boy. They know that I'm the sheriff's friend and I'm one of their top contributors, along with the other caucus of Black people that I put in and business owners that I put in. Now they ain't gonna mess with us the same way, because if they mess with us, they gonna hurt their own pockets. They don't care about our vote as much as they care about our dollar. So we need to stop being consumers and start being producers. You know what I'm saying? If you want to get you some Jordans, if you want to get you a nice fly Fendi shirt and everything like that, use your cashback rewards off your points, off your card to do that. But don't use your money that you made on that. Let the reward points and stuff pay for all of that stuff. And it's just a bonus.
You better drop them jewels. You better drop those jewels, gems, pearls, diamonds. Lord, listen, I hope y'all got notepads and pens and writing this stuff down, because it's for free. Remember, he charged. Brutman charges. You hear what I'm saying? What he's speaking today, through this exclusive is free. So I hope that y'all go back and play the replay over and over and over again and take these very, very things that he's sharing. He's doing it. He's doing it and it's working.
It's working. It's no tricks, no hacks or nothing to it. This is stuff that's been done for years in other communities, in richer communities and stuff like that. These tactics and these, the solution is here. It's up to us. You know what I'm saying? We can't continue to live off emotion. We need to have goals and have a principle mindset. Emotion, like I told you yesterday, emotions, that's why they call it an emotional roller coaster. Because some days you wake up, sometimes you down, some days you up. If you live your life by emotions and you don't feel like getting out of bed, what you gonna do that day? You know what I'm saying? Some days I don't feel like getting out of bed. You know, sometimes, but I know that I need to go out here and get it because I'm chasing something. I'm chasing a goal. I want to be able to do something. I want to live. I want to be free. You know, I got some homeboys and stuff. They started a whole movement, not a little movement, a big movement. It's Live Free. And that's what it's all about. It's about living free, you know, control your own destiny, keep your faith in God, but use your God-given talents. Don't get caught up in here trying to keep up with the Joneses and trying to keep up with everybody else that's on social media. You got kids out here nowadays and stuff that's getting depressed because they're comparing their lives and side by side with people that's putting up a real big facade on social media and everything. Get out here and really do it. You know what I'm saying? Man, it's so many options out here. It's so many ways to get out here, get legitimate money, and to live on your own terms and everything. You just got to be willing to get out here and put the work in. You know, I do a lot of work. Like, people always like, man, Darnell, you do a little bit of everything. But that little bit of everything helped me pay off $65,000, $70,000 in debt in 18 months and get from out of that power plant. And now I'm doing what I want.
You see, you're not just dabbling. You're not dabbling, son. Everything you have mentioned, you have profited from it. You're not trying this to see if it works. Everything you have mentioned, it's like it was sort of like trial and error type situation, you know. And thank the Lord that you utilize, you know, all that you've been through. We didn't ask for this pandemic, but what is it that you're gonna do? Sit on your hands? Yeah. What you gonna do? Stay in the bed all day from depression? Yeah. Or are you gonna get up and do something?
You got to do something.
Let me tell you, your transparency today is everything. It is everything. Because people had an idea where you were concerned. They had an idea. You understand? It's like a lot of times people don't pay attention to you to recognize that you are only human. You make mistakes, you cry, you hurt, you sleep, you work. You understand? Sometimes people look at you so differently, they don't see you as a human. I'm so grateful that you have shared today on the platform of Reveal and Heal, because that's what it is. You can't come on this platform and just shine. You got to come on this platform and you got to share where you've been and where you are and where you're going.
That's right.
The manifestation of where you've been is amazing. It's so encouraging. It's so inspiring and motivating. I am grateful that you said yes to this interview. Before we close, I want you to go ahead and encourage someone that they've lost everything, Darnell, and they seriously are just considering, you know, suicide because they leave their home as a man, you know, and they honestly don't have anything. But, you know, it's always something left, because if you got that unction, that go get in you, if you got that will to live, then you can live again. Encourage that person today.
Well, I tell everybody like this. It's everybody's gonna go through a rough patch. You know, like I tell you all the time, I told you earlier, I went through my Job season. You know what I'm saying? I had a rough patch last year. You know what I'm saying? I never dealt with anxiety before or depression on that level. But you gotta take care of yourself first, because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of nobody else. You know, so I'm to the point now, I don't want to hear nobody else's negative energy, nobody's negative content. I don't want to put myself in any of those atmospheres that's not going to contribute to my own happiness and my joy. You know, that's what I'm doing. I'm chasing joy right now.
Come on now. So,
like, you can make it through it. If I did it, I mean, like, I came, and it's cliche, people say it all the time, I came about the mud, But, you know, like, honestly, my mom moved us down here. We didn't have anything. You know, I slept on the floor for 6 months, you know, in a trailer. So it's like, when you coming from where I'm at and looking at, like, sometimes, like, I still get blown away. I walk in my backyard. I'm walking on my front, in the front of my property and everything. And I turn and look, and I'm completely blown away because I could have never even fathomed this growing up where I grew up at. So, I mean, like, you know, I'm not no more special than anybody else that's out here. You know, I tell you what, you know, like I mentioned to you before, you could have, you know, Coach Dev, you could be the best baker in the world. And you could have some addictive cakes, cupcakes, pies, everything. And I could be like, man, I want to make me a cake like Coach Dev. Coach Dev, you'll be generous enough to give me that recipe for that red velvet cake you make with the nice icing and stuff on it. You can give me all the directions. You can give me all the ingredients. Give me the directions and everything. I bake that cake, and that cake, it just don't taste right. It just don't taste the same like Coach Dev's cake. But you gave it to me. You wasn't trying to hold on to it. You know what? Because the blessings that God got for you, and can't nobody take them from you. That's whatsoever. Right, so I'm never going to be stingy with anything if I can help somebody else with it. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you can't take my blessing. I can't take yours. You know what I'm saying? If anything, if I see somebody that's getting blessed, I'm going to stand close to them because I'm in the right vicinity.
I know that's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because if they rain it down on you, I want to get a little bit of that too. Come and let me get a little bit closer to you and let me get some of that. You know what I'm saying? Let me stay around it because I'm in the right place, right? So you got to break free of the people that you hang around with.
You better talk it.
Sometimes you got to break away from family. Sometimes you got to break away from that best friend who you thought was your best friend and everything. You got to get around some new blood. You got to get around some new people. People that's going to speak life over you. You know, people that's going to bless you. You know, like, you hear it all the time. You don't never want to be the smartest one in the room. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get in circles where I'm the dumbest one. And I'm going to soak up all the game I got. And once I'm on their level, it's time for me to go to somebody, to another circle, and start figuring out what they doing. And everything like that. And that's what I did this past year. I started getting into circles where people was teaching me things, and where I used to be confident around here in Cartersville, where I felt like I was really doing something, I realized I wasn't doing enough. So now I got whole other dreams and aspirations. You know, I had a dream to where I just wanted to make, you know, let me bring in $10,000 a month.
There you go.
I did that. Now it's time to break that next level.
Yeah.
It's time to get six figures in a month. That's my goal.
Yeah,
you know, it's time to get six figures in a month. So that's the next goal and everything like that. So, I mean, like, you know, people say new levels, new devils, bring them on. You know what I'm saying? Because, hey, I'd rather have, you know, the problems, but I'm dealing with my own fate, my own destiny and everything like that. So, you know, get out here, break away from the environment that's, you can't heal in a toxic environment that made you sick.
Wow.
You got to get out of that environment. You know, so you got to go out here. You got to do some new things. You can't just keep wallowing in pity and everything like that and think things are going to change and everything. You got to do something different.
You know something? Everything you stated, young man, is achievable. It's achievable. I want to thank you so much for being with us today. This is a live, y'all. This is a live, and I hope that y'all have soaked up this wisdom and knowledge. I'm so grateful for this live today. I've been inspired myself. You know, I love the City Young People moving, you know, and doing great things. Let me tell you the motivation today. When all else fails, try again. You know, when all else fails, try again. Far too many people assume wrongly that failure in the past means failure in the future. It's a lie. This brother has shared, it is no truth to that. You're going to win in the end, but you got to get up and you got to keep going. You can't give up. Thank you once again,
no problem.
Thank Darnell, for gracing the platform today. Thank you, everyone, for watching. I thank you for watching. Continue to tune in each and every Monday for a new Reveal and Heal. Of course, what we're going to do, I promise you, please follow us on all podcast outlets. And remember, you can also follow us on YouTube and IG. I'm Coach Dev. You know, you can't heal unless you reveal. Remember to love yourself, love everybody, and be an example. example. Thank you for watching. Have a good evening.